go, go, go.
Let's go, 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 White Sox. Chicago is proud of you.
This is White Sox Weekly, the Chicago baseball conversation on the new flagship home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
A little later than expected, but good to be here. White Sox Weekly on the air tonight until 9 o'clock. Harry, what are you doing over there?
I'm tweeting that Farmio is our leadoff man.
Oh, Farmio is our leadoff man. He hasn't had enough radio time today, and so we're going to bring Ed Farmer on in 22 seconds. But we have a special Farmio Open that we would like to play for the great White Sox play-by-play host, which you hear each and every game, which you'll hear tomorrow, 121st pitch, when the White Sox hopefully can salvage one game in this series.
Still the only ballpark in all of baseball that has lights just down the left field line and right field line, yeah, and none in the outfield. You know, the ball goes out to those outfielders at night. You see the dark side of the moon.
Yes, you do.
No light on that side of the baseball.
I think there was an album out called Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah, there
as well,
was. But... yeah, I stole from them. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
And if the band you're in starts playing different tunes.
See, he doesn't just know baseball. It's music. It's everything else. Farmio, welcome to White Sox Weekly. We appreciate you taking time on a Saturday evening for us. It's the first time talking to you this late at night for us. Hang on a second. There you are.
You guys picked that up with Van Deren yesterday? Yeah, good going.
Oh, yeah. That was the best part of yesterday's broadcast for me. Today was your...
We have a lot to be happy about yesterday, Tony. We didn't.
Today was the we didn't start the fire reference that
you
guys...
Oh, we tried to fight it, but we gave up four in the first, yeah.
I want to tell you a little behind the scenes there. Harry and I were sitting there, you know, listening to the broadcast, watching the game, and they're trying to figure out what music bump to come back with. And that was a Harry selection, and you just ran with it, Farmio. That was beautiful.
Boy, I got it, and I said, this is going to be good. I thought it would be okay. What was I going to say? You know, they sent nine men to home plate yesterday. They sent nine again today. We cut our losses. We only gave up four.
That's it. All right, so... Where do we go from here, Ed Farmer? This is the worst start in White Sox history at 9-27, and everybody knew that this was not going to be a World Series team this year, but it wasn't also expected to be this rough out of the gates. A lot of guys on the DL, a lot of reasons why.
Yes.
But you know, how are you looking as far as moving forward from here?
Well, you've got to get Mankata back, certainly. One of our best players, if not our best, with Abreu. Obviously, Garcia is another top player. When we get them back, they're still going to have to go on rehab assignments, I believe, and so does Darren. But we're not there yet. We're just trying to tread water to get there, and if we can win, that's even better. We're trying to win every game. I mean, there's one thing that you're going to play out and see where we are after the end of the season, but getting to the end of the season, we still want to win. I mean, I'm putting the uniform on. We're trying to lose. We're trying to win. We didn't quit today. We're down 8-1. And made it 8-4. And those runs you give up later, if you don't put those up, you're going to the ninth inning after Davidson is a 3-run homer in the eighth. You're going to the ninth inning, you're down by 2 runs. It's 6-4 rather than, 6-4, 7-4 rather than 8-4. And we had the tying run in the on deck circle because you just couldn't get it done. Morrow was great. The Cubs have played better than the White Sox the first two games by a long shot.
Farmio, you know, there are a lot of fans saying, well, you know, we're losing the battle, but we're winning the war. But I like it that you're talking about the disdain that's going on in the clubhouse right now. You can hear it in Ricky Renteria's voice. How ticked off are these professional baseball players, these 25 guys, that they only have 9 wins?
I mean, you got to give the credit to the other team, too. I mean, we're not exactly playing great baseball. No one's going to feel sorry for you when you lose 2 or 3 of your best players for a longer time than what you envisioned. But you still have to play 9 innings of White Sox baseball. It's going to get worse before it gets better. So look to the future? Sure, we're looking to the future. But we also have to take business what we do today. We're not taking that lightly. You know, for Richie Renteria, his thing is always don't quit. Don't quit. We're going to play 9 innings. We're going to play White Sox baseball. We need to cut down the mistakes and get better pitching out of the bullpen than what we've had, as well as the starters. It's pretty simple to do that, but now we got to carry it out also.
Is there any value in Ricky getting super angry? I mean, I don't personally see that, but there's also another side where, you know, you don't want to just be the quote-unquote nice guy all the time. You want your players to fear you, respect you. There's the hit both poles, so to speak. Does that?
I think they get that. They got that the other day at our ballpark when we were beating Pittsburgh, and they came back and won. We made a lot of changes because somebody didn't want a ball out.
Right.
He's well enough to be their friend. He knows that, but he also has to be their manager, and sometimes that's a growing pain. When they don't do what you tell them, take advantage of it. I remember Bobby Cox had a center fielder that was with the Atlanta Braves, Andrew Jones, and he didn't do something he liked until one of the guys in the dugout, go out in the middle of the inning, go out and get Andrew Jones right now. And the kid goes, Skipper, you want me to go out and get Jones now? And he goes, yeah, right now. Go get him.
Super.
Took him out of the game, and Jones wanted to say something to him, and just motioned to the clubhouse, goodbye. You may lose that battle that day, but the winning of the war is going to come later. That's what happens. We just want the winning of the battle to start and the winning of the war to start tomorrow at Wrigley Field.
Fermio, there are a long list of pitchers, and you pitch. You know how tough it is to come out of the gate as a young pitcher and succeed in the bigs, but there are a long list of pitchers who did not do well. For all the people that are already going south on Carson Fulmer, that are saying, oh, Giolito was a fluke last year, you know, I there's so many guys, you know, that pitched.
Did he show you something tiny last year that you liked?
I love that curveball.
Okay,
I love that.
It's still there. He's going to find his delivery. His delivery has been abstract, to say the least. Lucas knows that also. But he has been more composed, with the exception of the last game. He pitched good enough at St. Louis to win. He didn't get the win. He pitched good enough the time before that to win. I mean, he's 1-4 on the season. He's got the stuff. Carson Fulmer is finding his way through the big leagues. And this is what I mean. Guys who come from college and high school to get to the big leagues quick, and he's been on a fast track to get here. He is learning how to pitch at the big league level. He is side one on the outside corner to everybody, right-handed batters. He can throw in the lefties. He's got to start using both sides of home plate. You learn that in time. It just doesn't materialize overnight. You learn that. He knows what he's doing to an extent. Now he's got to find out how you pitch in the big leagues. You know, guys call pitching the contact. I never thought about that. What I try to do is keep the ball down and throw strikes. And in my mind, I said, you don't swing at this as strike one. You don't swing at this as strike two. Rarely did I get to strike three, but I was taught how to pitch, and I think Cooper does a great job with the White Sox. But well, I learned how to pitch from George Bamberger at Baltimore. We had 9 pitchers on the staff there 1 year, 9. Had 4 guys in 1971 who won 20 games. They all won them at the expense of the Cleveland Indians. In 1971, the Orioles. That's a long time ago. Now, what I'd like to see is more running for the pitchers, because we've conditioned them to be 6-inning pitchers. But we use the pitch count now to get them out of the game, where it's a crutch, I think, for a lot of managers, where they say, oh, his pitch count reached 90. 30 years ago, pitch count, they didn't care about that. You throw 140 or 50 pitches, 9-inning game. But they're conditioned a little differently than what they're now. They're bigger and stronger now. But for me, it's always the legs that do the pitching. The mind certainly will take you there. But you get tired from the ground up. Your legs get tired first. It's not your arm.
And I've heard you talking about that throughout. You and DJ talk a lot about that during the Sox games this year, that it's, you know, below, you know, from your lower half of your torso is where you'll find your success. And wherever Leo Mazzoni is now, I know he's rocking back and forth, but Greg Maddux's success was all pitching to contact. And there's been a bunch of guys that have said, and Carm always talks about how you can be a guy that throws 91, 92, and still be a demon on wheels out there.
I'm not saying you can't do that. You certainly can do that. But what happened to a guy who won 300 innings in a year and won, you know, in his career 300 games and struck out 300 people? We don't do that anymore. You condition your athletes to think about 5 or 6 innings, and that's it. You condition them to think about 8 or 9 innings, they'll make 5, 6, or 7, and you may even let them go. You let them go 8 or 9. But you don't get stronger by not pitching. You get stronger by being more out on the field than you are being taken out of a game. That's what I think, for starters.
You think anything happens tomorrow with the White Sox and Wilson Contreras, Fermio?
No, I don't think so. I mean, that's what baseball is about these days. I mean, he's clubbing us. I mean, they're not going to knock him down. That's not the way the game's played now. You certainly don't want to hit him, but you gotta start mixing your pitches to this guy. He's hammering us. I mean, I read some of the things he's done in the last four or five games. He's on fire.
Yep.
That's why they batted him fourth again today. I mean, he's got, three home runs in the last two games. Against us, he's driven in like 11 or 12.
Hey, we love Matt Davis. We love Matt Davidson on White Sox Weekly, and Carmen and I both thought that he was safe yesterday on Wilson Contreras' pickoff at second base. Should that have been challenged? Do you like the way that the Sox go about it? Because it's a different sport, but the Blackhawks, I can't believe how quickly they determine when to challenge, when not to challenge. Do you think that's a play that should have been challenged yesterday?
I don't see anything wrong with challenging it, but you're in a position there. But they've already called him out. Remember this. I don't know how it is in hockey, but in baseball, if it's not a conclusive deal, then they go with the umpire that's there. It's got to be conclusive that he was safe or he was out. In that case, it'll be conclusive that he was safe. And if they don't have the right angle, they call him out because that's what the umpire did at the ballpark.
And I
don't know if you want to lose your challenge at that point of the game either.
Yeah, I asked Ricky about it. We'll play it a little bit later in White Sox.
What did he say?
He said that it's, you know, it's a very, very short period of time where they have to make a decision, and based on the information he had at the time, he didn't feel comfortable challenging, basically.
If he's uncomfortable, then you don't challenge. Let me say this. Yesterday, I just want to know this. You guys can answer this question to me. Yesterday, Tyler Chatwood pitched for the Cubs. How can you be late for the first pitch when you're giving the first pitch? How can you be late?
Coop,
make up on you, said you better go warm up. Oh, I forgot I was pitching.
What was it yesterday? Was there rain? I forget exactly.
Coop. No, there was nothing. He just wasn't ready to go.
Coop was not happy about that, was he?
I don't know, because I didn't go in there today. I tend to leave things alone like this. Maybe I should go in there, but I have a relationship with Richie Renteria, who's my third baseman in the last year I played baseball. And that's probably why he's now a manager, because I ended his career early because of some of the things he had to run down a third. But, yeah, I don't go in there and I say, hey, Skip, I think you should have done that now. But, when you're – and no one gave us an answer of why he was late. I mean, he wasn't late by 20 seconds. He was late by 4 or 5 minutes. Yes, you got ready to go, and I mean, come on. What are we doing?
You were never late, were you, Farmio? You were always ready.
I don't think so. I don't think I was late. If I was, they never told me. No, I wasn't late for Kangaroo Court either. That's another subject.
Right,
I told Shields about it. Shields wants to have one now. That was it. They'd have so much money in that kitty right now, they could run a charity and give them all the money. Yeah,
Farmio, we're up against the clock here, so we got to squeeze in some breaks. But always great to talk to you. The broadcast today was incredibly entertaining, as it always is. But
hopefully we'll call a winner tomorrow, guys. Yeah. I want to win tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And then see what happens in September when the Cubs come over to our ballpark.
Absolutely. Farmio, great to talk to you.
The darkest hours are just before the light. And I hope the darkest hours are behind us for sure.
Now that I think about it, there were a lot of lights at my wedding.
Yes, we should be on Broadway for those lights as well.
That's right. They say the neon lights are bright.
Blame them. Yeah, exactly. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a wonderful evening.
Thanks, Ed.
Doc.
Yep.
All right, guys.
Appreciate
thanks.
It. Ed Farmer, bye-bye. White Sox play-by-play. All right. I love Farmer. Let's. Yes.
It's awful to sit there and lose and to only have 9 wins this far into the season.
Nowhere to go but up, baby.
But the broadcasts on the radio are very fun, and also on TV, they're very fun. I mean, what can you do? You have to acknowledge what's going on, and you just try to have fun. It's all going to pay off.
I've just very much enjoyed the subtle or not so subtle digs that Farmio's taken at Wrigley Field, the shrine they call Wrigley. killing on the press box. Yeah. And he mentioned, you know, it's nicer around here, except up here where we're hanging out. It's been very entertaining. All right, White Sox Weekly continuing with you till 9. A lot of stuff from Ricky Renteria coming up on the State of the Club, 720 WGN. Hey, you can join us for Star Wars night at Guaranteed Rate Field on Saturday. Harry's going to play Han Solo. It's going to be amazing.
Solo?
Yeah. May 19th. I love Hawk Solo. May 19th, as the White Sox take on the Texas Rangers, the first 20,000 fans will receive a Hawk Solo bobblehead presented by TransUnion. Visit WhiteSox.com to purchase your tickets today.
The White Sox Weekly text question, as always, is sponsored by CJ Wilson Mazda and ZoomZoomNation.com, where they're always trying to make your car shopping fun. Avengers Infinity War had the top domestic opening at the box office of any movie ever, $257 million. It's on its way to being the highest grossing movie of all time. So, any White Sox, current or past, any White Sox player, coach, personality, anybody involved with the Pale Hose, who would be the greatest superhero and what would their power be? Be creative. You don't have to say, well, this guy would be Flash because he was so fast. Just be creative. Come up with the Sox player, coach, a box office guy, you know, upper management, and let us know what their superpower would be.
So a White Sox player, coach, manager as a superhero.
Right.
You got one for just to lead it off, Harry, just to show it, to demonstrate what you're looking for?
For example, Terry Bevington would be the nothing bothers him superhero, that like he could go out to the mound, single for a relief pitcher to come in who's not warming up, and it wouldn't even bother him.
Yeah, I came up with Craig Graybeck, the little hurt, as Underdog, which was my favorite superhero growing up. Harry, I'm going to, you know, just go deep into the childhood, mm-hmm. come home from...
You know, you're a lot like Shoeshine Boy. You're humble and lovable.
I appreciate that, Harry. Hey, bring your family of four to a White Sox game for as low as $49. Reggie, Lucy, Harry.
$49?
Yep. Family four pack. It includes four tickets, four hot dogs, four chips, four sodas. You get the upper level and the lower level packages available, so you can sit for $49. Check out all of the available dates at whitesox.com/4packs today. Eat, drink, have a chip. It's a great look.
And text us your superheroes, 312-981-7200.
Quick timeout. A lot of Ricky Renteria and his thoughts on where the club is at coming up to start the 8 o'clock hour, 720 WGN.
WGN, the team's flagship radio station.
You're listening to White Sox Weekly on the home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
White Sox Weekly with you till 9 o'clock tonight right here on 720 WGN. My name is Mark Harmon. He is Harry Tynowitz. Dan Long producing. Great to be with you tonight. We're about to hear some Ricky Renteria audio before the game today. As you can see that the losing is starting to weigh on the club. The White Sox now off to the worst start in the history of the franchise after 36 games, sitting at 9-27. We'll hear from Ricky in a second here. Harry, we've got a text question out there, though, and people are responding to the White Sox superheroes.
Yeah, well, Avengers Infinity War is on track now to be the highest grossing movie in the history of film. So we asked people what Sox, current or past, anybody in the White Sox family would be a great superhero. Create their power. From the 773, Harold Baines, God of Clutch.
Yes.
I like that. The Bull. The Bull would bash any rooftop. Little Greg Luzinski love going on there. From the 630, Bobby Thigpen, because he could save us all.
Mm.
Get it? Longtime record holder for most saves.
57.
Joe Creedy, very good, Carm. And, of course, Thiggy Ward, number 37.
You are a numbers guy. That is a very true statement there.
Yep. Joe Creedy as Superman, because he would run through any wall, any obstacle to save the day.
I would think that'd be more Aaron Rowan if we're going to go run through walls.
See, Rowan wouldn't run through a wall. Rowan would run into a wall. Aaron Rowan was just so great. And, of course, James Shields, his cousin, took the loss today.
Sox fans, join us as the White Sox take on those Texas Rangers. Thursday, May 17th, 7:10 p.m., the first 10,000 fans will receive a free Ricky's Boys Don't Quit t-shirts presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Bring your business home to Bedford Park and win big Purchase your tickets today by visiting WhiteSox.com or calling 866-SOX-GAME. All right, let's get to Ricky here. And he covered a variety of topics today, but let's start out with, do the White Sox need to get more angry to win games?
I guess anger is, if it's used correctly to push in a particular direction, is useful. I think that anger in of itself is a consequence or an outcome of frustration, which then means that you've lost sight of focus and the things that you need to do to correct the direction you're going in. Again, outcomes are simply the result of actions taken or not taken, executions failed or done well. I do think that as long as they stay focused on trying to take care of those things that they can control, it's much easier to deal with frustration, because it means that you know what you need to do in order to get out of that particular mode of whatever the failure might be.
So, interesting, right? It's sort of a deep dive that he's doing. Because the anger builds, you can use it to move you forward, but now you've lost your focus and maybe you're just running on rage and that's not necessarily sustainable.
Well, I mean, how many times have you heard, you know, use that anger, let that fuel you, let that be your fire? So James Shields, we talked about earlier in the White Sox Weekly broadcast tonight, he was upset that he couldn't move the runner along. He fires a bat. He was angry.
Right.
Okay, and yeah. Here's Ricky Renteria saying he doesn't want to see that. He wants to see focus instead of anger. But, you know, I can't help but feel like, man, if I were in the dugout, that would, like, kind of tick me off, too.
Well, and he followed that up with a little bit more further on, like, hey, I really do want to see that focus.
Anything that you could say about the men that are in there right now, they know that maybe, well, not maybe, we haven't done as well as we would have wanted. And that's a fact. There's no denying that. My job is to make sure that they remain focused. As much as people want them to be negative and angry, and I need them to stay positive, I need them to stay focused on the things that they need to do in order to correct the things that they're doing individually and collectively, and we got to continue to move forward. This is still a long season. There's a lot to be gained and learned from this particular season, and in winning sure does help. And certainly coming out with victories on a daily basis puts us in a much more positive mentality.
So, exactly what you're saying there, Harry. He doesn't want to see a bunch of guys losing their minds and getting off and getting angry and punching walls or whatever else, versus, okay, what did we not do right today? What could we do better tomorrow? How am I individually helping the ball club? How can I personally be better? That's what he's looking for. Professionals. He's looking for people that can handle the good and the bad. And right now, they're in a funk, a collective funk.
Right, and you know, I would be ticked off, too. You know, I'd be mad. I'd be angry. But, I mean, James Shields is a leader. James Shields has done a lot of good things. You've got all these young starting pitchers. You've got a ton of young guys in the bullpen. And a bunch of guys have come up into the pen. So, you know, it only takes, like, you know, one moment to just lose it and throw the bat. But, you know, I mean, he's probably, you know, 9 out of 10 times, he's not saying dropping an F-bomb or firing his glove.
And I don't think he minds a moment of where James Shields comes in the dugout disappointed that he struck out and he's trying to get a bunt down. I don't think that bothers him at all, really. But I do think that he doesn't want guys coming into the clubhouse with the anger face, so to speak, and being down about what's going on versus just, hey, man, just focus on what you need to do. That's what we want to see.
And no nonsense tomorrow with Wilson Contreras.
Sure. No, guys enjoy themselves on the field. Tim Anderson does it all the time. And personally, I'm new school that way. I like guys who enjoy the game. I thought and Contreras today to me was a little bit over the top because he's celebrating as, you know, the Cubs are winning by a decisive score and he's just super happy that he's getting another hit. That would bother me more if I was his own teammate. Like, hey man, you don't need to be so thrilled that your batting average is rising right now. Just respect the other team and just act like you've been there before. But as far as like enjoying a home run in the first inning like Tim Anderson does, I enjoy that, and to some people in baseball don't.
And Wilson Contreras is a wonderful player, and it's hard at that young age when you can do just about anything you want on the field, you know, to contain yourself.
Yeah, sure, he's having fun, but I mean, there's got to be a little bit of, okay, I just got,
right.
You've been there before. Hey, and for anybody out there that's thinking like, you know, the White Sox are just, you know, totally happy and satisfied with not winning games right now. This was Ricky on the losing.
Well, losing is never acceptable. I don't think in our clubhouse or any time we've ever been here have we ever expressed that losing is okay. I think what we have to understand and keep focused on is what are the things that we're not doing. What are the actions? What are the failures? You know, at this particular time, if you wanted to look at it logically speaking, we're not pitching as well as we would want to right now. We haven't been able to close out games, the ones that we have had. Are we continuing to tack on runs? Are we continuing to keep the line moving? Those things that keep you on the offensive side, doing a lot of things that give you a chance to score runs. Unfortunately, right now we're on both sides of the spectrum, having a little bit of a difficulty on both sides of it. And then it seems when we do have that day where we've come through on the offensive side, we've got a nice start, we've got a little bridge going into the backside of the game, we haven't closed out the ball game. You know, it's trying to get to as many of those ball games as possible. Ultimately, you're going to win more than you lose. But we aren't consistently getting to that point yet right now. So logically speaking, we need to carry more leads into later part of the game. We have to be able to bridge more consistently through the later part of the game and ultimately close games out.
So that is the formula. Let's get some good starting pitching. Let's get some good relief pitching. And let's get somebody who can close it out and win a couple ball games. Hey, real fast, Mike, welcome to White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to remind you guys that Ricky Renteria used to coach the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, in Iowa. And he's looking at these kids that are now professional ball players across the ball field in the opposite bunch. And how much that plays in his mind and what he's doing and how much it affects him. You have to wonder.
So, Mike, your take is that this is a super hard series for Ricky, seeing, you know, going up against the Cubs.
I think it's very difficult when you receive a championship ring that you really didn't earn, but you earned.
Right, right. And I get it. Look, you know, you look, the Cubs hired Ricky and gave him an opportunity, and he showed that he could do a great job with a rebuilding club, and I think he can do a good job with a winning club too. But he showed that. So the White Sox were in a situation where they knew they were going to be undertaking a rebuild, and so Ricky was appealing to him. So he really can't be angry at the Cubs. He might not be in the position that he's in right now managing the White Sox if he hadn't gotten that job.
You know, the Cubs weren't going to fire Ricky Renteria until Joe Maddon became available. And they looked at Joe Maddon as, you know, such a difference maker with so much more experience. And, you know, he had decades in the Angels organization, you know, being a coach. So they went with Joe Maddon. They weren't so much unhappy with Renteria. They just wanted to grab Joe Maddon.
Right. But if I was Ricky, I would be angry by that. Like, why do you think this guy's better than me? I could have done that too. But at the end of the day, like when you get a little separation from it, hey, I probably wouldn't have this job right now if I hadn't had the Cubs up. So he can't really be mad.
Difference. Well, and also, like, that just tells Rick Hahn and the White Sox that this guy, you know, who had such an impact, you know, on the Cubs growing, was going to be, you know, the right guy to take you to the next level. A different sport. Dwayne Casey with Toronto Raptors, 7 years, one of the best teams in basketball. He gets whacked. I mean, is that, I like Fred Hoiberg, but I mean, if the Bulls were to say, hey, this guy Casey has been taking the Raptors deep into the playoffs.
Way to sneak that in here on Jerry Reinsdorf's other club. You want Hoiberg out and Casey in?
Yeah, and by the way, these texts that Reinsdorf needs to sell the club to someone who wants to win more, there's no owner in sports that wants to win a World Series more than Jerry Reinsdorf. Guaranteed.
And it's a waste of text. He's not selling the team, Jerry.
Yeah, and he's sacrificing. He, you know, I mean, he's not 21. He wants the White Sox to win the World Series. So that's why you're looking at a team that has 9 wins right now.
It was a very aggressive rebuild, which is something that 98.9% of White Sox fans wanted. And it took a lot of courage to go down that road and punt on what they had. And they did it. So this is not the easiest time right now as far as winning games, but I still think most Sox fans see the big picture of what's going on.
Yeah.
Entertainment Group of MVPs in a suite this season. White Sox suites offer the best experience and value. Single game suites start as low as $2,000. For more information, call 312-674-1000 or visit whitesox.com. White Sox Weekly continuing until 9 o'clock tonight. We're going to hear from Trace Thompson, Tim Anderson, Chris Volstead, a bunch of White Sox on the program coming up, 720 WGN.
That ball hit deep into left field, way back. He looks up. You can't put it on the board. Yes! A grand slam homer by El Caballo, Carlos Lee, and the Sox win it here in the bottom of the 10th inning.
I was down the right field line for that one, Harry, with Jerry Ginsburg, one of the great White Sox fans in the entire land, a guy who got in fistfights growing up when people would say that he was defending Louis Aparicio against whoever the Cubs shortstop was at the time, and he would literally get in a fistfight, maybe Ernie Banks, and they'd get into brawls over that Aparicio was better.
That was June 8th, 2001, Carlos Lee walk-off grand slam to beat the Cubs, and I was in a suite that night. And one of my friends, Adam Delavitt, was kind of knocked down by a woman on the way out.
I had vended the ball game, and you were living in a suite.
Oh, you had vended.
I had.
Well, one thing, Cubs and Sox fans, one thing that they have in common is they enjoy the beer vendors.
Yes, they do. That is a very, very true statement. Both sides of town enjoy a good frosty beverage. Hey, Trace Thompson, Harry.
Mm-hmm.
One of
32.
Right, coming on back to the White Sox. He, of course, drafted by the Sox, went through the minors, came up, and then ended up going out to L.A. and then had a cup of coffee in Oakland for about a week. But caught up with him today in the clubhouse and just talking about that journey and coming on back and sort of growing up, because I think that's an experience for any ball player when you do get traded.
Being in L.A. for a couple of years was an amazing experience. You know, I always, you know, when I got drafted, it was always my, you know, dream to be, you know, a White Sox for, you know, my whole career. But that, you know, that doesn't happen for everybody, obviously. And there's not many Cal Ripkins or George Brett's, you know, around. But playing in L.A., it was special being a Dodger. You know, it's one of the, you know, historic organizations in the sport. And so that was pretty special. And, you know, playing with some really accomplished, really amazing players and amazing people over there was pretty cool. But, you know, like I said, I'm happy to be back here and try to take my knowledge and what I learned my couple years there over here and, you know, try to do the best I can.
Biggest difference between Dodger fans and the White Sox fan?
You know, well, the stadiums are different. You know, I think Dodger Stadium's a little bigger. I think it's one of the biggest stadiums in the league. But so the games are pretty hectic. The crowd. It's always pretty hectic there. I think the expectation of fans in LA is a little different, especially now for the White Sox. You know, we're kind of in a shifting transition here. You know, going a little younger with a lot of guys and continuing to play. And you know, in LA, it's always win, you know, today, win right now. In LA, it always has been. So it was a little bit different. But you know what? It's exciting. You know, this is Major League Baseball. No matter where you are, whether you're in, you know, the South Side of Chicago or L.A. or Milwaukee, wherever you are, you know, this is Major League Baseball. So it's always exciting to go out there and play.
So along those lines, you guys are, you know, the record's not where you want it to be. But the attitude around here, it seems like guys are coming in every day ready to play. I mean, what do you see?
You know, it's tough. You know, we've hit a tough stretch really ever since I got here. But you know, it's not like we're not trying. You know, we're going out there trying to win games, and you know, we've had some tough luck where, you know, we've hit and the pitching hasn't come through, and we have some tough luck where we've pitched and the hitting hasn't come through. So, you know, it's baseball. We just have to continue to grind. You know, being with a winning team the last couple of years, I kind of witnessed what it takes, and so, you know, and Ricky is a good voice for us. And, you know, he says all the right things. We, you know, we as players, we have to do our job and take accountability and just go out there and play and, you know, prepare to the best of our ability and go out there and perform. And at the end of the day, it comes down to performing. So, you know, we're close. We just got to keep it going and, you know, try to turn it around day by day. And, you know, hopefully today is the day we turn it around.
And for you personally, anything that you're especially focusing in on right now or just having good days, I assume?
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten off to a slow start, you know, obviously, and, you know, I look around the league and, you know, you see guys get, you know, off to slow starts or hit slumps, you know, similar to what I'm going through right now. It's just, it looks a little worse for me because it's the start of my season. You know, guys will get hot and then go through something like this, so it looks a little worse for me. So I'm just trying to, you know, I know it's still super early. I don't know how many at-bats I have. I think I have around like 40 or 50 at-bats, so it's still super early. I just try to, you know, prepare the best of my ability and go out there and be confident and, you know, try to make an impact each day. You know, I know I have you know, I'm a talented guy. I feel like I can impact the game. So I just try to, you know, go out there and make the most of it and just go out there and let it fly.
There you go. Trace Thompson, he is struggling. His last hit came back on May the 3rd versus Minnesota. So he's one Harry for his last, let me do the math here, 7, 11, 12, 13. He's one for his last 16, hitting 107 on the year. But it's a guy that you really want to root for. And I'd love to see him get on some solid ground here. White Sox fans really enjoyed him before he headed off to L.A. in the trade for Todd Frazier.
Everybody slumps. I mean, everybody slumps. I think they're more noticeable when you start the season. They're more noticeable when you join a club. And when you're not an everyday player necessarily, they're more noticeable. But you can turn it around in an instant.
Quick timeout, White Sox Weekly continuing the story of Chris Volstead, who had an interesting journey himself coming on back to the big leagues. That'll come up in the second part of our half hour here leading up to 9 o'clock. White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. June 28th, 2002, well, White Sox-Cubs history, which, by the way, Harry Tino, it's on White Sox Weekly, the White Sox lead the overall series, 58 wins to now 56.
Ooh, it's getting close, but the Sox still have the lead. You know, I remember that game vividly. That is the game where David Wells, I swear to God, he faked an injury. He faked like his back was hurt. And I always thought Dave Wells was such a cool guy. You know, I was foolish, and I thought it was cool that he said he threw a no-hitter when he was hungover. And I was just, well, what a stupid idiot, you know, to think that was cool. And he was getting beat up pretty bad in the first inning, and he faked an injury. And a guy who I really enjoyed, Matt Ginter from Kentucky, threw like almost four innings of hitless relief and got the win. Konerko got hit in the head. And he hit two home runs to beat the Cubs that day.
I forgot about the David Wells faking an injury.
Do you remember that?
I do now, yeah.
And then the Sox wanted him to get an MRI, like, by their guy. And he said, I'm driving to Michigan to get an MRI.
Yeah, that wasn't happening.
Okay, David Wells.
Oh, that's almost like the kid who doesn't want to go to school to take a test.
Well, yeah, that was me.
You're a Major League Baseball player. Hey, a cool story today on Tim Anderson, whose father is out of prison. He'd been there for the first 15, he was in jail for most of the first 15 years of Tim's life. They always had a relationship, though. And, you know, the comments just from Tim, like in the paper today, it's good to have him home. I'm excited and thankful. He's been there every step of the way. He hasn't missed a beat. He just wasn't there, but phone calls and long talks, he's been my supporter from day one. So he gets it and understands, and it's just great to have him back. To share something like that, that's pretty vulnerable stuff. And he continues on. He's a good man. Anderson proudly said, it's cool for him to come to the ballpark and see me play. It's been a minute, but it was a great moment. So, you know, he was talking about that yesterday after the Sox lost to the Cubs. I just thought that was and I being around Tim, I'm a big fan. Positive guy, always willing to talk, and just a guy who's trying to enjoy his life. And a lot of trials and tribulations over there for Tim Anderson. He keeps on moving forward.
Right. Well documented. He lost his best friend last year to gun violence. You know, you only get one parent, and I know a lot of people would – you know, just say, hey, that's it, I'm done with my parent because of this situation. But, you know, it's great that they can be together, and now he's back home. So I love hearing positive stories.
Yeah, and he apparently they went to a store to buy a grill for Mother's Day, and they bought one that was on display because they didn't want to put it together, which is a man after my own heart.
Hell yeah.
I am not the guy that...
I have no time for IKEA.
Yeah.
I don't have time to wait in line at IKEA, let alone put their damn thing together.
Great, great idea. It works for a lot of people. Not for me.
Right.
If I was the first person on Earth, I swear I would not have invented the chair. We would be sitting on the ground, eating with our hands, and that would have been good enough for me.
Yeah, and chairs are great, but hey, the ground can be cool.
Right. Connect with Earth. What's wrong with that? Hey, White Sox fans, celebrate your Italian roots with Italian Heritage Night. It's presented by Beggar's Pizza. When we take on the Texas Rangers, that's Friday, May 18th, Italian Heritage Night will feature specially priced tickets and a post-game fireworks show. To purchase tickets, visit WhiteSox.com/Italy. That's this coming Friday.
And it's the only time the Rangers will be in town all year.
We'll take a quick time out. Coming on back with a little bit of a Chris Volstead and his story, his journey back to the Sox, and a man who spent some time overseas. I love a guy who is up, gets knocked down, fights his way back. 720 WGN.
Base hit to drove in a run. There's another hit. A drive down the third baseline. The tying run may score. He's around third, racing for the plate. The throw. He hasn't touched the plate yet, and he does. Michael Jordan has tied up the ball game with a ground double to left. And this crowd has seen what it came here for. And everybody's on their feet.
Now, I might argue that was the greatest moment in White Sox history. I saw, last Sunday out of the park versus the Twins, a couple guys wearing Jordan 45 jerseys. It really, really makes me happy. By the way, if you go to my Facebook page, I've got a video out on Michael versus LeBron that I am promoting. Thank you.
I was going to mention that for you. It is outstanding. And Carm tackles the topic now. All these kids say LeBron's the greatest ever. Ha. Huh. Carm documents it as if he went to law school.
And by the way, if there wasn't a strike in baseball in 94...
Don't do this.
Maybe Mike would have made it to the big leagues.
Don't. See...
I'm glad that it went the way it did.
You know, this is why they took Matt Henry out after four innings last night.
He had two... Hold on a second. Yeah. He had 202 in AA.
Right.
Okay, that's not great, but he had 30 stolen bases. He had 50 RBIs. He went in at 267 in the Fall League that year. He was getting better as it was going along. It is Michael Jeffrey Jordan, pretty athletic guy, very extremely talented. I think he would have made it, Harry.
Let's not forget he bought the bus.
He had the great bus, right? Absolutely.
Birmingham.
Terry Francona's manager.
Yeah, he wanted Francona to get a gig. He made phone calls.
Well, and Terry's doing okay for himself.
Yeah, so check out Carm's Facebook page. What do we have so far? Like over 40 people have viewed that?
Something along those lines. I believe it's we're creeping on 400,000, Harry.
400,000 people.
Yeah. So
that's a lot of folk.
A lot of folk. People like the Michael LeBron topic. What do you got over there?
I just want to suggest if you want to go to the Sox game when Bruce Springsteen, Billy Joel are going to be there, the Rolling Stones are going to be there, join us Friday, June 1st for Rock and Roll Night and fireworks presented by Guaranteed Rate as the White Sox host the Kansas City Royals. Boo. At 7:10. To purchase tickets, visit WhiteSox.com. And if you haven't been out there for a Friday night fireworks show, you are missing the party.
So the White Sox, by the way, are 5-2 against the Kansas City Royals.
And Matt Davidson has like 60 home runs against them already this year.
They're 4-25 against everybody else, but they have done well against the Royals. So, all right, let's move along here. Chris Volstead was a first-round draft pick of the Florida Marlins back in 2008, and then he was successful for a bit. He had in his third big league season, he was 12-9, had an ERA in the mid fours, made 30 starts, but then it started to go south for him. And he pitched with he left the Marlins. He pitched with the Cubs. He was with Colorado briefly, but he had to go overseas to Korea, and in 2016, and eventually battled his way back to the White Sox last year, and now, of course, on the club. So just an interesting story for a guy who's been up and has been down and is battling his way back and is hanging in there.
Yeah, Chris Un Volstead when he was in Korea.
There you go. So I asked him to yesterday, actually, out at the park, you know, about what is his advice to people on their own journeys who are having their own ups and downs.
I guess the big thing is just keep fighting. I mean, never give up and stay committed and focus on what your goals are, what your dreams are, and just keep moving forward. You know, it's sometimes you get down on yourself, but realize that for me, I guess the fight was what I really enjoyed. And looking back, I wouldn't want to think like I kind of gave up on myself. So the fight and, you know, reaching towards your ultimate goal and at the end of the day, just giving it all I have.
So fair to say there were moments like, well, maybe this won't work out for me and I'm going to have to handle that.
Yeah, I mean, you might, those thoughts might start creeping into your head a little bit, but you know, I just try to get back to work and keep my head down, and things will happen the way they're supposed to at the end of the day. So just keep moving forward.
Let's talk about going over to, the Doosan Tigers, is that right?
The Doosan Bears, yeah.
Doosan Bears, my bad.
Seoul, South Korea, yeah. I played in Korea for a season. That was interesting. I mean, you're obviously on the other side of the world, so, you know, you're in a country, in a city where it's tough to talk to a lot of people. The language over there is a huge barrier. The game's a little bit different, but you learn a lot of things along the way about yourself, about other parts of the world, which is great, about baseball. So it was a huge learning experience.
I'm curious, like, the game's different. Like, how so? Like, maybe there's something that should be perhaps incorporated into the game over here.
I guess maybe a little more contact-oriented with the hitters, putting the ball in play, hitting maybe a little more small ball, I guess, especially compared to now. With the home run rates kind of climbing through the roof a little bit here. It's a little more small ball type of game. Faster infields, they have like half the fields are turf, like all fields are turf. So it's, you know, kind of a faster game in that sense. But, yeah, just – and then scouting reports and things like that are pretty in-depth over there. They have meetings every day. So it's just a lot of – they work really hard over there every game. So
first time sitting down for dinner, you're looking at the menu – do you remember that moment or something? Anything similar to that?
Oh, yeah. I just looked at the translator that was with me, and I said, hey, man, I'm just trusting you right now. You got to pick. I just go with your favorites because I have no idea what I'm looking at or reading. And then the first time I was out with only, like, the American guys, we had a menu that had pictures. So we just kind of, like, pointed to what we thought we might like. Like, that looks pretty good, so we'll try that. So it's a learning experience, and it was a lot of fun.
You were phenomenal in spring training. It didn't give up a run. I'm thinking he's got to be on squad, and then it didn't happen. So were you down at that point?
No, I mean, I felt good at coming out of spring training. A good spring training and throwing the ball well. That's kind of what, you know, that's what I'm working for. That's what I'm trying to do. So feeling confident in what I was doing out on the mound. Just kind of knowing in the back of my mind if I just continued to do that. That an opportunity would eventually come around. So just focusing on what I'm doing on the mound. And, you know, it's one of those things where outside distractions or thoughts about things you can't control are kind of tough. So you just need to focus on what you're doing.
Is there anything you could point to that, to boil it down, where you just were able to make some adjustment that let your natural talent come out so you could, you know, be here pitching in the big leagues doing it?
Yeah, I feel like now it's just maybe a little more confidence, I guess, or a little less worry, for lack of a better word. You know, just attacking the zone and throwing my good pitches, believing in what I'm doing and accepting whatever's going to happen, and not trying to make mountains out of molehills, I guess.
One more minute here with Chris Volstead. So, like, being a reliever, you could be in the game any day, whereas as a starter, it's like you can take that mental break, right? You know, you know you're not going that. How does that work for you? Where, like, okay, I got to come to the park, and I know I've got to be ready that I may be in there in a higher leverage situation or any situation.
Yeah, it's definitely an adjustment. In spring training, getting used to that process, I guess, was big. Kind of helped me along the way. And then even last year, a little bit towards the end of the season in AAA, and then when I came up, I was in the bullpen. So I've had a little bit of experience doing that, but it is a learning adjustment. But it's just kind of knowing your body along the way when, you know, maybe pregame stuff you might take a little lighter if you're feeling a little sore or tired. Just kind of learning yourself along the way as you go, and trying to be prepared each night when the game starts.
And I know I've heard you say this, but let's get it out there again. You love this team. You love the guys around here, and you see what's coming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. This is my third season now with the organization. So I've been with a lot of these guys for now the third year starting. Some of the guys they brought in free agency and some trades. They're awesome. It's a great group of guys. If you're ever in the clubhouse around and you see the vibes that we have going on, the camaraderie that we have, it's great. It's fun to be a part of.
And you were a Cub, too, but now you're sitting here in the visitors' clubhouse. These confined territories okay?
Yeah, they're all right. Let's see, my first year in the big leagues was 2008, and I made my way up here. So I got to experience this side of it before being on the home side. So I think you forget how small it is until you're actually back in it again. But it's fun to be here.
6'8" Chris Volstead in that tiny clubhouse here. You hear all the laughter in there before the game?
It's a solid piece, and you can just tell. I love guys that appreciate. I love guys that don't take it for granted. And there's a guy. I mean, he went to South Korea to play baseball for a year. You know, Kelly Wunsch went to Central America. There's a hockey player, a Jewish kid, Evan Kaufman, who played in Germany, went to Dusseldorf. I mean, guys have a passion for their sport, and Chris Volstead worked his way back onto a major league roster. There's so many guys in the Sox, they're so easy to like.
Drew Crawford, Northwestern basketball, playing in Israel right now, and my man Juice Thompson over there, too. Wherever ball is, I will travel. I mean, we could go and do radio in, like, Italy, Harry, me and you. What do you think?
No? I would love that.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
You know, speaking of Italy, you know, the Sox have Italian Heritage Night coming up.
This Friday night at beautiful Guaranteed Rate Field.
Right.
Texas Rangers in town.
We'll take a look at the Sox schedule ahead, and you're going to love who's back in the lineup Tuesday night.
Absolutely. 720 WGN.
Got a fastball and lifts a fly ball in the short left field. Kierzynski wanting to know, am I going? He is going. Here comes a throw by Merton. It is a collision at the plate. And Kierzynski not only bangs into Barrett, bangs onto the plate, and here they go. Posehnik getting into it with Barrett. And now both dugouts empty behind home plate. I mean, there is some hooking going on in the bottom of two piles.
I mean, I got to say, I think that's the best White Sox Cub moment. That was awesome.
Sadly, it's the most memorable. Mike Caruso hitting a home run, light hitting Mike Caruso. That was, Michael Barrett just lost it. Nobody could agitate an opponent like AJ. And AJ might have, I don't know what AJ did in school in terms of grades, but he was the smartest baseball IQ I ever saw. He was caught in a rundown between second and third against Tampa Bay Rays, and he got out of it. No one gets out of it. He knew Barrett. He knew he could get under Michael Barrett's skin. And Michael Barrett, I didn't know him that well, but he fought with Zambrano too. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
So I mean,
he wasn't a very popular guy in his own clubhouse.
Right, and Derek Lee got in the face of Zambrano. That's another Cub Sox moment. Was Zambrano yelling at his teammates in the first inning when the Sox were taking it to the Cubs? And he said, "You're not going to play defense for me. I'm not going to play for you." But Michael Barrett losing it and slugging AJ, and of course AJ, the smartest thing he ever did was to drop third strike against Josh Paul. Now the Angels bench coach
would not have won the World Series, perhaps, if AJ doesn't make that. Well, it's a little bit
right.
It was a huge play in that series.
Yes, Tuesday night in Pittsburgh. So this week the Sox are off on Monday. Tuesday night and Wednesday they'll go to Pittsburgh and hopefully get the two back that they lost here. And Yoan Moncada is due back in the lineup on Tuesday night. They'll play Tuesday night, 5:35 pregame with Andy Major. Wednesday morning you're going to get cheated out of Bill and Wendy, only 1 hour, and then Andy Major at 11:05 pregame for the 11:35 first pitch, and then Texas here for four on the weekend.
Yep, let's take a quick final timeout as Sox playing a lot of home games. 8-game homestand coming up here starting on Thursday. White Sox Cubs, one more tomorrow. We'll get you set for it next. This is White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN.